independent-minded centrists in Congress. A few still exist, but they're starting to look like dodo birds, an endangered species. Everyone seems to want a Congress that gets things done, whatever that means. But without the dealmakers, getting things done will be more difficult than ever. For a preview of today's congressional elections, Roll Call senior editor David Hawkins. And David, you're writing that the centrists really do seem to be in a squeeze more and more.
That's right. So you look at the Senate and you see four of the senators that we rate as, you know, not sure best for re-election. Really, there are nine competitive Senate races. There are eight Republican incumbents running for re-election. There's one open seat. And if you look at how those senators have voted this year, CQ and Roll Call measures how often they stick with the president and how often they stick with members of their own party when they line up against most of the other party. Excuse me. And there are about half of the ones that are in tough re-election fights are, for this day and age, considered centrist. You look at Patrick Toomey in Pennsylvania and Mark Kirk in Illinois, to cite them two most obvious ones. They have actually been near the top of the list of Republican senators voting with President Obama. They don't do it all the time. They do it pretty often because there wasn't much on the agenda this year. The nominations was a lot of it. But still, they stood out among their colleagues. So you think, as you say, if what the electorate is wanting is people who are willing to cross the aisle once in a while to get things done, those two, who are two of the most endangered Republicans on the map on Election Day, you'd think would have a good shot at being reelected, but both have gotten in trouble back home for not being consistently. They've been whipsawed on both sides. The Republican base doesn't think they're loyal enough, and the Democratic and independent voters think they're don't stray often enough.
Ron Johnson, the chairman of the Government Operations Committee, you're saying he looks pretty solid on the Republican side.
Well, his voting record, right? He has run. He's sort of an example of the opposite, which is some of these Republicans in tough races have been unvarnished in their conservatism. Ron Johnson is example number one on that score. He has stuck with the party on almost all the votes. When these party line votes, and most of the voting has been along party lines, and he has opposed the president among the most often of the Republicans. And yet he is still in the hunt. Actually, just in the last few days, my colleagues who do political handicapping have actually made his race more competitive. For many, many months, it looked as if Ron Johnson and the aforementioned Mark Kirk in Illinois were the two most vulnerable Republicans. Now, Senator Kirk still looks like he's the decided underdog in his own race. But in the closing weeks, Ron Johnson has made something of a comeback, and I think that's essentially too close to call.
All right. And the other close one it looked close for a while, was John McCain on the Republican side, who has an interesting background, like you might say, concerning the Obama administration. What's the handicapping there look like?
So an interesting record, to say the least, right? Obviously, President Obama's opponent 8 years ago, and has had a complicated approach avoidance relationship with President Obama in the ensuing 8 years. He now looks to be almost in the clear. We rate that Republican favored, not quite Republican safe, but he is a solid favorite if he were to lose to Congresswoman Kirkpatrick today. It would be something of a big upset, one of the bigger upsets of the night.
We're speaking with David Hawking, senior editor at CQ Roll Call. And on the House side, a couple of that are being reported again at Roll Call, Darrell Issa, who has been a really gadfly of the administration from California, Republican. It looks like he's in trouble, you're saying.
That's right. He runs down in the far southern reaches of San Diego, near San Diego, and he is in the race of his life against a guy named Doug Applegate, a veteran, a solid candidate. He's got some, ISIS trying to talk about some challenges in his personal life. But yes, California does not seem all that, or that part of California does not seem all that fond of somebody like Darrell Issa, who has been such a tormentor of the Democrats and the administration from his seat on the Government Reform and Oversight Committee, where he was the chairman. Were he to stay in Congress, He would be in line to eventually become the chairman of the Judiciary Committee. So he's really one of the of all the Republicans in the enormous California delegation. He's one of the most powerful and certainly one of the best known and, you know, high media profile. But that may not be enough.
And the other one I wanted to ask you about was John Mica from Florida, who has been
a fascinating story there. So in Florida, a long and tortured story, but Florida had to redraw its congressional map this year. And so Mr. Mica, who had been in a very solidly Republican district for a long time, allowed him to build up the seniority that has allowed him to be a senior member of, have lots of work that affects government employees and government contractors, and he's got a keen interest in the federal workforce. He is now was redrawn into a district in and around Orlando that was much more Democratic. And this all happened right as the nightclub shootings at a gay nightclub in Orlando were happening. The LGBT community in Orlando did not like the way Mr. Mica responded to that, did not like that he was not four square behind gun control. And as all this happened as this woman, young woman, 38-year-old political neophyte, a college professor named Stephanie Murphy, a Vietnamese-American woman, came on the scene. She's seen as telegenic. She's four square on all the issues Democrats care about. She's been able to raise an enormous amount of money. And the Democrats saw this as a vulnerability, not so much because of Mr. Mica's conservatism, but because his district had been redrawn. And now we think that, at best, Mr. Mica is a toss-up for re-election and may even be the underdog.
Interesting. So there could be some important shifts, especially on people that have had a lot to say about federal agencies and operation and government management, including John Mica. Another question I had for you, David, FBI Director Comey, Jim Comey's back and forth and seemingly going after the Clinton campaign and seemingly caving into Democratic withering criticism. Is any of that having any effect on these races, do you think? Do you hear anything like that on the Hill?
You did hear during that nine days between when Mr. Comey said that they were reopening the investigation and when he said never mind. You know, you did that. That was the moment at which Mr. Trump seemed to close in the polls a little bit, and it did seem to help some of the Republicans. I think in the end there are a myriad factors. That was probably one of them. Now we do think that the odds that the Republicans will lose House seats. The only question is how many. It's not going to be enough to switch the House to the Democrats. It may be in the low double digits. It may be in the high teens. But probably the Republicans have limited their losses ever so slightly in the closing days. And on the Senate side, we think there are still six races that we view as toss-ups. There are several paths for the Democrats to get to a narrow majority in the Senate, maybe even with the counting on Tim Kaine to get elected vice president. But again, in the closing days, this FBI back and forth helped the Republicans marginally.
All right, so we'll have to simply go to bed early and get up late to watch television, sounds like.
That's my plan.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tom.
We'll post this interview along with all of our election pre-coverage at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.